Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, January 20th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Larson,
here.
Martin,
here.
Massey,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Basie,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Hines,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Gilberts. Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the Journal of January the 19th, 2009, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The report is adopted. The doctor of the day, there is no doctor scheduled, but Dr. Bloomfield will be on call from the UW Family Medical Clinic if needed. Nurse of the day is Mary Kay Goter from the Board of Nursing. Thought of the day, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have, so spend it wisely. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
I just want to take a moment of your time to announce that the Jennings family has continued in the positive pro-growth attitude of Natrona County with the addition of Austin Fox Jennings IV, whose father last night, already nicknamed him Champ, came in about 10 o'clock at 8 pounds and 8 ounces.
With that order of business, the introduction, reading, and references of bills. Senate File 121, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 121, sponsored by Senator Burns, Gray Wolf Management 2, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 121 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 118, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 118, sponsored by Senator Escobel, Continuance of Insurance Coverage, an act relating to insurance coverage.
Senate File 118 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate Joint Resolution 1, first reading of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, sponsored by Senator Escobel, Equal Military Benefits for Citizens, a joint resolution requesting Congress to provide equal benefits to Puerto Rican veterans.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 115, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 115, sponsored by Senator Larson, Investment of State Funds Revision, and Act Relating to Public Funds.
Senate File 115 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 116, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 116, sponsored by Senator Scott, Montgomery Fund for the Blind 2, and Act Relating to the Administration of Government.
Senate File 116 have been assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 113, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 113, sponsored by Senator Meyer, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool, and Act Relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool.
Senate File 113 have been referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January the 19th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 88, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin, Senator Larson, Chairman. January the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 74, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye. Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. January the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 30, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott. Conflict, Senator Case. Senator Case, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 2, second reading of the Senate file.
Insurance financial reporting requirements.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sorry to interrupt. Senate File 92, which was just read in, and also Senate File 88, which was just read in. While they contain no appropriations, they do change funding sources significantly, and I request they be re-referred to Appropriations Committee, too.
Senate File 88 will be re-referred without objection to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, and we haven't read 92 in yet, I don't believe. Okay, we're on Senate File 2, second reading. Senator Case.
Sorry, Mr. President, just standing around. Apologize.
Okay, Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 4, second reading of the Senate file.
State Parks and Cultural Resources, Fort Bridger.
Senate File 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 6, second reading of the Senate file.
Wyoming Arts Council revisions.
There is an amendment. Would you read the amendment, please?
Senate File 6, second reading, amendment number 1, page 2, line 1.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment, second reading, amendment number 1, and ask for the reading amendment be dispensed with. Yesterday, Committee of the Whole, you recall, I had an objection to the appointment process that was in the bill where they make the recommendations both for the name they're now changing to the Arts Board, which I have no problem with, or any of the rest of the bill. I do have a problem with the appointment process both for the Arts Board and also for the Cultural Trust. I believe we should stay by the traditional appointment method that we have had, which is the members to all of these boards and commissions, et cetera, are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. In this particular bill, as you recall, they make recommendations to the governor for appointments. And if you go further back into the section, on page 14, for the Cultural Trust Fund Board, their administrator, and then they nominate two and put it in. So what this amendment does, quite honestly, is just go into the bill and return the appointment processes to what we've had traditionally. You'll see on page, basically on page 2, line 10, we insert After governor confirmed by the Senate, which has been there traditionally, we eliminate all that language from there on that says make recommendations to the governor for the appointments to the new board. It takes all of that out. The rest is delete and renumbering. Then it goes to the last part, which is concerned the cultural trust. It still leaves five members. It still has the director as being one of the five members. But instead of having a four and two and some recommended by the thing, it puts it right back to the way we have had it. That is, after the governor appoints them, they're confirmed by the Senate. So it just returns all of this to the confirmation appointment process that we've had before. And I would recommend that you adopt the amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I request that we divide this amendment and make the division after line 22. Everything above that would be division number one, and everything below it would be division two.
As you can see that it's divisible, so you want to speak to the first division?
Mr. President, I really have no problem with Division 1.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? All in favor of Division 1, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 1 have passed. Division 2? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I don't necessarily have that much heartburn with Division 2, but I want the body to keep in mind, if they vote for this part of the amendment, they are in fact changing what the current practice is. The current practice is that the Wyoming Arts Council currently does nominate two of the members to the cultural board. The only reason that this language is in the bill here is because of the name change from the I'm looking for the language from the Wyoming Council on the Arts to the Wyoming Council Board. They currently nominate two people to the Cultural Trust Fund. So if this body doesn't like that practice as it's been done historically, fine, we can change that. And I really don't have that much heartburn with it either way, but I just want everybody here to know that they would be changing current practice.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, that may be, but I still believe that having them appointed by the governor, with the director still being one of the four, having them appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate is still the proper way. That may be what they're doing now, and that's probably where they got the idea of doing it on the rest of it. I don't deny that that's what's happening now, but I happen to still believe that the proper way to appoint boards is to have them nominated by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. And so they may be doing that now. This will change that to having the same five-person board with the director being one and then the remaining four nominated by the governor and confirmed by the Senate.
Further discussion? Now with Division 2, we'll be voting on from line 23 to the balance of the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 7, second reading of the Senate file.
Historic Mine Trail Byways Program.
Senate File 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 12, second reading of the Senate file.
Campaign contributions.
Senate File 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 29, second reading of the Senate file.
Increased industrial road program limits.
Senate File 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 33, second reading of the Senate file.
Public easements, abandonment.
Senate File 33, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 35, second reading of the Senate file.
Youth access to tobacco cessation program.
Senate File 35, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 45, second reading of the Senate file.
Improvement and Service District Directors.
Senate File 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 52, second reading of the Senate file.
School bus seat belts.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 52, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 24.
Senator DiCara.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52. And, Mr. President, I ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does is, in the discussion in the committee the other day, although we had assurances from the Highway Patrol that they would not be out there pulling school buses over and citing the drivers, we still haven't really taken care of that problem. There is a provision in the current bill that will give them immunity and civil liability, but there is not the same provision as far as the criminal part of that statute. And so, Mr. Chairman, some of the concern was it's be hard to hire drivers if this is the case that, you know, I mean, they just really can't take that risk, you know, the amount of money that they make, you know, having to pay for fines for kids that aren't buckled up. Mr. President, all this does is will remove that criminal component for a driver if there is somebody on the school bus that is not buckled up and they do get pulled over so that they can't cite the driver. I'd be happy to answer questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. We thought we had this covered in the amendment that went out with the bill yesterday. As we went back and looked at it, we didn't. This is a very needed amendment to this bill, and I'd hope you would support it.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question is called for. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment passed. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, and I apologize for being off the floor yesterday. I see where the requirement is for all future buses that are going to be acquired after July 1 of 2009, which would be the second year of our biennium. There's a fiscal note that says it's going to be $1.2 million additional dollars. Does the sponsor know whether or not the department has enough money to acquire this? What ends up happening, I assume, is that that cost goes on buses. The school districts buy the buses. They seek 100% reimbursement under the model, which comes back to the state Department of Education. Have they got the funding already in their budget necessary to pay for the added cost, or they buy fewer buses? If you talk about that a little bit. I know that the good sponsor doesn't like have bills being referred to appropriations, but if we could get that answer.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thought maybe by having the Appropriations Committee out of the room, we might have got by with that, but no. To answer the question, in committee, we had representatives from the State Department of Education, and nobody seemed to have a problem with the funding. So I don't think that we actually asked the question point blank like that, but we did skirt around it, and nobody seemed to say they had a problem with it. I can go back to the department and get a definite yes or no on that and have it ready for tomorrow.
Senator Nicholas.
If you do that, I think part of what happens is that we see an exception request coming back next year saying, look, you made this requirement, and it is the great buzzword now is transparency, so that if they don't have the money in their budget, if you'd let us know so we can address it, so we know what's going to happen.
Further discussion? Senate File 52, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 61, second reading of the Senate file.
Sex offender registration.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 61, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 3.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this bill, I think was clear from the discussion committee of the whole yesterday, is designed to plug some loopholes in our sex offender registration law. I think it does a fine job of doing that and of dealing with some of these people who are trying to avoid registration by not having a permanent residence. And I think the focus of the bill is on catching up with the people who are evading our requirements. However, you know, we're after the bad guys here, but it's my belief, both from experience and frankly from my religious faith, that these people are capable of redeeming themselves, reforming, and becoming reasonable and responsible citizens. And one of my concerns all along with some of these bills is that if we aren't careful, we make things impossible for them. And I think that's what was going on here in subsection C that I'm seeking to amend, where you're requiring to register temporary domiciles such as hotels, motels, public and private housing, camping areas, etc. And so what? It's there to catch the people who just live in such places and are trying to evade a registration. What this amendment is seeking to do is put an exception to that, in so that somebody who's got a permanent residence that's registered and goes and stays in a motel for 5, 10 days or 2 days, depending on the work, doesn't have to march down to the sheriff's office in the new county in person and re-register. So the exception applies for a limited time, provided they've got a permanent residence where they are registered. And that's what this amendment does, and I think it will make the bill much more workable, especially for those who are making a good faith effort to reform and redeem themselves. So I'd urge adoption of the amendment, Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate the senator from Natrona County speaking with me on this amendment. I think it's a judgment call for the body. I think it does address that situation. Remember, what we're going into here is temporary domicile, temporary residence, and trying to address that. This will allow for that situation where the person has complied with the law, is registered, does have a permanent residence, or perhaps wishes to go to Teton County for a little bit of time and for a vacation, and and do some, you know, travel through Yellowstone National Park or whatever it might be. So I think it's a fair compromise, I don't think it does any harm to the bill. And but it's just simply just a policy question for this body. Thank you.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just had a question for the bringer of the amendment. I was just wondering, for example, if there was a situation where one of these folks was going on a two-week vacation, does this mean that they would spend 10 days in one hotel and then have to go next door for the other 4 days? Or how to can they just kind of skip along from place to place and never return home or very often, very seldom? Or how does that work?
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, looking at the language specifically, if you're present in the temporary domicile for 10 days or less, you qualify. So, yes, if you were going, say you had a job, say building a pipeline, and the pipeline moves, you would be 10 days or less in one domicile. You probably come home on the weekend. You're back there for the next stretch in a different domicile. It would work.
Further discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 70, second reading of the Senate file.
Loss of firearms rights protection.
Senate File 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 76, second reading of the Senate file.
Snow plows, emergency lights.
Senate File 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Senate File 9, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 9, State Engineer Permit Application, sponsored by the Agriculture Department, an act relating to the State Engineer, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question? Senate File 9, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis? Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye. Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 9, having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 9 have passed the Senate. Senate File 22, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 22, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Wyoming Economic Development Act, an act relating to Wyoming Economic Development Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question? Senate File 22, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer? Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote?
Geis, aye
to no. Closing vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate File 22, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 22 have passed the Senate. Senate File 46, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 46, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, School District Facility Lease Fees Limitation, and Act Relating to School Buildings. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question? Senate File 46, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper, DeCaria, Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 46, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 46 have passed the Senate. Senate File 57, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File number 57, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Rental Vehicles, an act relating to rental vehicle agencies, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is amendment. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 57, third reading amendment number 1, page 11, line 20.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment to Senate File 57 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. And members of the Senate, we talked about this several times and we were talking about this bill, and I think there was an unintended consequence that has occurred in this. And what we're doing, if the purpose of bringing trailers into it is if you go to your typical rental place, they would have the truck or vehicle that is covered under this, and they would pull a trailer. And so since they're doing both, they wanted to have trailers covered. But what you have a lot of rental agencies in the state of Wyoming that rent trailers only and do not rent motor vehicles. So those particular places, like in Riverton, we have called Jiffy Rental, and in that particular instance, they would rent the trailer. If we do not have this kind of language in, then they would be responsible to register as a rental car agent and pay the 4% surcharge and do all of that, which is not their business. Their business is a rental place, and they're renting, simply renting trailers. And if you look at what the amendment does, Mr. President, it takes that part of the definition in the bill on page 11 under You Drive It Vehicle, and at the bottom of it, it adds in the exclusion part 2 points. One is A, it excludes trucks and trailers used to transport commercial freight. That is in the existing law. And then we add a second one, B, that's in the amendment, Mr. President, and that says trailers rented from an agency that does not also offer motor vehicles for rental. So one situation, and I think in the southeastern part of our state, there is one particular rental place that rents a one-ton pickup and a little trailer. They want to be treated as a rental agency, so they still would be, but yet the places that just have the trailers only and do not do motor vehicles would not be. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Von Platerin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand in favor of this amendment, and I appreciate the good senator from Riverton catching that. It was unintended, and I ask the body's favorable vote for this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate file. Are you ready for the question? Senate file 57, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson. Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 57 have received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate. Senate File 57 have passed the Senate. Senate File 59, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 59, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Road Closure, an act relating to highways, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question? Senate File 59, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Yes.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis. Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross, Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
no.
Closing vote, closing vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Senate File 59, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 59 has passed the Senate. Bills on considerations of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. considerations of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senator Myers.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 19. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 19, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee, Cost of Emergency Detention and Hospitalization, and Act Relating to Emergency Detention and Involuntary Hospitalization Costs. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 19. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 19, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 1.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman. I move the adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 19 and request that you take a favorable consideration of this amendment. This amendment really is the bill now. And I will tell you, just give you a little genesis about the bill. This bill comes to you from the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse. And this particular title that we're dealing with is involuntary hospitalizations. And in this situation in which we involuntarily commit somebody to the perhaps a state hospital or those hospitals in which the state of Wyoming has a contract with, there is a responsibility to pay for that involuntary hospitalization. The first 72 hours of that hospitalization is solely the responsibility of the county. Then thereafter, it becomes a responsibility of the state hospital and ultimately the state of Wyoming. What we're talking about is people that are a danger to themselves or others who are involuntarily committed generally do not have much in the way of wherewithal to be self to have their own health insurance or things of that nature. And they are a pretty fragile population. And this bill comes as a result of what apparently has been some over-aggressive attempts to collect on those costs, particularly by the county, before it is ultimately then referred on for payment. So what the original bill did and really didn't make much sense was it just provided on page 2 of the bill that the hospital or the treatment provider shall limit their attempts to recover to 3. But it was very vague and not specific. And so what the Standing Committee and Senate Standing Committee did was adopt language that you see in the Standing Committee Amendment, which provides that the hospital or the treatment provider shall have discharged their obligation to recover their costs if it is done Romanets 1 and 2. And ultimately, by doing this, they can then get reimbursed by the county and you save a lot of harassment on that individual who probably doesn't have the wherewithal to pay for this hospitalization. So ultimately, the provider, the hospital, comes in. They certify to the county that they have taken necessary steps to ensure that there is no public or private health insurance or any other assets from which recovery would be available, and that there are no other government benefit programs available to pay for these costs. Submit that, certify that to the county, then it's the county's responsibility to pay for those first 72 hours. So I'd urge your favorable consideration of the amendment and the bill and stand for questions.
Any further discussion? Question been called for on the amendment. Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, I understand. I'd like to ask just a question to follow up. When you talk about abusive collection tactics, and I assume you're talking about, I'm not sure whether it's the hospital, but if the, in this case, if the county has a different conclusion, then I guess they're just precluded from making any attempt to collect, even though they're the ones that picked up the bill. So I'm just a little interested where you have the certification being provided by the hospital, the treatment provider, who has an incentive to say, hey, we can't collect, and then send the bill to the easiest source to be collected, which is the county. And the county has no mechanisms to say, well, we just disagree, or you didn't do a harder job. And this is a very expensive obligation of the counties. We know that we continue to receive complaints that they have to pay these costs. And I'm just a little, I would like to ask about the notion that the counties are now bound by a certification which the private provider makes as opposed to being able to do any investigation on its own.
Senator DiCaria.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the testimony and why the bill came up originally is a vast majority of these people, again, are involuntarily committed and have no resources. And so the problem that was coming up in committee was that what we were doing is we would keep driving these people, you know, into more stress, which would lead them to be committed again, and it was just kind of an endless spiral. Mr. Chairman, so this attempt on this amendment was to try to help, that just to say, let's check it out. If there really aren't those resources available, then we're not going to continue to badger these people, which again have been involuntarily committed. They didn't choose to do this. You know, it was something that was, you know, done to them, you know, by the others, you know, and sometimes rightfully so. But it does not preclude, in cases where there are additional resources, for the county to continue to go after any dollars that they think might be available from other payers in order to do it. So I guess it was, the thought was, it's a compromise that really you're just going to take those people that don't have any other mechanism in order to pay these bills. You're just going to take them out of that, and then the only ones that would be left, and if if they have private health insurance, or, you know, there are other mechanisms that haven't been used, the county could continue to go after those debts.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and if I may extend and amend the good senator from the southeast portion of the state's remarks. The rest of it that came in the committee is the issue really came in that there was a disparate requirement, particularly by certain counties in the state, before they would pay the health care provider for providing these services. Keep in mind that outside the state hospital, this is basically kind of a regionalized area, regionalized service, that we only have a few places in the state where we have, and these types of mental treatment services are available. Ultimately, they go there. The healthcare providers then are, by statute, are required to seek cost recovery from the patient prior to applying to the county for the care for the first 72 hours, and then to the Department of Health for the care that's after the 72 hours. The problem arose significantly is that in some counties, and the disparate treatment was, some counties were requiring for cost recovery that all legal remedies be exhausted, including lawsuits. They were essentially requiring judgments or other things like that that were returned unsatisfied before these things were being considered to be, before the cost provider had exhausted their cost recovery efforts. Oftentimes those efforts were, cost providers were futile because the testimony we had was probably in 90 or so or more percentage of these cases, there are not assets or resources from which you can recover. So the idea was to streamline this so you don't have cost care providers being treated differently in different places, that there's at least a good faith effort made to do that. And I do believe that with the certification, if you make a false certification as a health, as a provider to either the county or the state for reimbursement, and that those false certifications are false, or have turned out to be true, I would think that the county or the state would have recourse then against the person who failed to certify appropriately or whose certification was false, and that they would have to end up having to reimburse the county themselves for that. But that should maybe not sheds any more light, but there's some additional explanation of the bill and the purpose.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may have been possibly discussed earlier, maybe it's something I missed, but I'd like to ask the question anyway. What if during this, interview or investigation, whatever you want to call it, by the provider, that they find out that there is some possible assets or insurance or whatever, are they then allowed to go back and talk with the patient again, or if they've had their three chances, is it done?
Senator DeCaria.
We've taken out the three chances now, and so they could go back an unlimited amount of times if there are resources. We're not restricting that whatsoever. This was kind of an alternate model. Instead of giving them just three for everyone, the ones that there isn't any mechanism for them to pay, you know, this will take care of it. Everyone else, there is no limit on the number of contacts they can make.
Senator Nicholas.
Have from the explanations that were given is one, I don't know that the county does have a lien right after they pay. So once the county pays, the hospital's gone. If the facts turn out to be different, I don't think the county has a lien right. Since they didn't provide the service, in the absence of a lien right that we grant by statute, the county's just out, they pay it. Part of the concern that I would have is that any time that you impose on the county the obligation to pay without any corresponding obligation to be a policeman, you're just pushing down a financial responsibility where they don't have the right to assert it. So that's the side on the county. On the side of the individuals, when you tell me that you're trying to lessen the burden on the people that are being committed, when you have words that say assets, they have to certify there are no assets from which recovery is available. I mean, that would go down to the shirt on your back. What generally, I mean, if you have clothing, you have assets, do you go take that? I mean, if you're saying that they're entitled to all the exemptions of this, and they don't have no bank account, no liquid asset, no car, are you going to go out and take the old car that may be worth $200? I'm not sure that you've lessened that burden if that's your objective.
Senator Perkins.
I respectfully disagree with my good friend from Albany County in that in the bill there is no mention or certainly no ability where we've created a lien or somehow superseded the existing exemptions that are in statute. You've got the typical homestead exemptions of $10,000 per occupant, $20,000 if there's two of you losing that as a home, husband and wife or a couple. You've got your $2,400 exemption in an automobile. You've got your $2,000 in personal effects, $500 in tools. You have all those statutory exemptions I don't think are affected. So ultimately there's got, I would respectfully disagree with my colleague in that I think those exemptions are there. Those are certainly taken into consideration. I would also add that at the committee, that the county was represented at the committee, and ultimately there was no opposition voiced one way or another by the county's representatives there. Anyway.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Peterson. You're on.
Serving on this, like the government, by some type of solution, granted shorter term or possible, and then the buyers being brought into this solution. Depending on where you live in the state, these costs.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to remind the body and take us back a few years. And most members of this body were here when we were having big disputes over who paid, period, for involuntary hospitalizations. And at one point in time, it was the state picking up all the tab because the counties weren't willing to have any skin in the game. And we ultimately came down with a decision and a law that everybody was willing to agree with, that those first 72 hours are paid for by the county. Now, it was deemed fair then, and I think it's still fair that the counties be involved for at least the first 72 hours. And there are potentially disparate costs depending on where you live, but we've tried to provide a regionalization for those kinds of services to try to ameliorate that. We still are working on that and moving forward on that. But at the end of the day, what all this bill is talking about is collecting that. And who gets to collect that? And we have imposed upon the providers in the hospitals to try to collect that. But if it simply isn't there, the counties need to step up and pay what they are, by statute, ordered to pay. And so I'd urge your favorable consideration of the amendment in the bill.
Any further discussion? Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the committee of the whole rise and report, it do so. If they do pass motion on Senate File 19, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 19 is passed. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 86. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
It was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Carrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chair.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a do-pass recommendation on Senate File 86. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 86, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 5.
It does show that it indicates that it is on here.
How's that better?
No. Okay, let me try it here again. Okay, now try it on your end.
Now is it on?
No. All right, let me. It shows, it does indicate that it is on the screen. Can you use the guest microphone? Let's try that one. Does that one work?
Can you hear this one? Yeah.
Okay.
Senate File 86, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 5.
Okay. Now, guys, on 86, you might find this amendment behind your packet because it wasn't part of it, so your Standing Committee Amendment 86 will probably be behind your packet. Distributed yesterday. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 86, and I will tell you about this. This is a cleanup amendment. It simply changes what was stated as the Department of Employment and should be the Department of Transportation in this particular area. I urge your favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment.
Heard the motion. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That has passed. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would yield the floor to the good senator from Natrona County for an explanation of the bill.
Sure. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
Oh, I got to go to work now.
Go to work.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, would also maybe as an order of housekeeping go to there's a Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, which I'd also like to have read in at this time.
Would the reading clerk please read that in?
Senate File 86, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 48, line 5.
Mr. Chairman, I request we dispense with further reading of the amendment and ask for your favorable consideration on this. All we did in this is, as we went to Section 1, 2, if you read the bill, we have Section 1, 2, 2, 3, and 4, and we should have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So this just corrects the section numbers in the bill, and would ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment, and then we'll go to an explanation of the bill.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have distributed early this morning a fact sheet about the 2006 Revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act that you should have somewhere on your credenza. What we have here is the original Uniform Gift Act is currently in statute was the 1986 version of the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act. It was subsequently revised, I believe, in 1987, but Wyoming did not adopt that. What you have now is a situation where our laws regarding anatomical gifts do not conform with current protocols and how we go about that. Probably one of the glaring considerations is that under the existing act, only the individual who's making a donor gift, who's making a gift of a body part or organ, is entitled to make that gift. Under one of the primary events that you'll find under the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act or Senate File 86 is that if you haven't made that designation, that there are others who can make that designation on your behalf. For example, a spouse or parents or others, adult children kind of a thing. But anyway, if we can, I'll take you through the bill fairly quickly. It's a lengthy bill. I'll try and give you the Reader's Digest abbreviated version, and then you can ask more specific questions. We start off initially on the first, on the initial pages, probably the first first 9 pages or so, are an expansion of the different definitions that are in, that we need to have in order to understand the act. These some of the definitions are fairly similar but expanded, and then there's some new definitions. Probably most notable among the new definitions that are important to understand the act are the introduction of the term agent, which would be a person that you've designated in your advanced health care directives or durable power of attorneys, those types of things, to act on your behalf. Also, the existence of organ procurement organizations. And let me explain that a little bit, because that's important to understand the bill. Right now, you have organ procurement organizations that are regionalized around the country. They're approved by the Department of Health and Human Services from the federal government, and have kind of divided up the country as their regions around different parts where they have transplant centers. The closest transplant center here is the capital of the is the capital of our sister state to the south. Most of the Wyoming region is in that region, although there are parts of northern Wyoming, which would be in the Seattle region, and in southwest Wyoming, which would be in the Salt Lake region. But ultimately, you have these nonprofit organ procurement organizations that are out there, and they kind of facilitate and manage the both the harvesting and then the conveyance for to the recipients for the transplant of organs. Another things that you have there that are out there, a term that's important that appears in this version of the Uniform Act is the term reasonably available. And that is important because obviously there's a very significant time window in organ donation that has to be resolved typically within as rapidly as possible, oftentimes within 24 hours or so. So that the term reasonably available is basically is who can be contacted for approvals or consents in the event that an organ can be transplanted. But also note that this is important to Wyoming. Wyoming has one of the highest rates of organ donors and transplant activity in the country. And in fact, the hospital in my community recently won an award for the number of donors that have come to that hospital, which I think is a strong recommendation or a strong endorsement by the people of Wyoming, because that hospital wouldn't be able to assist in that unless people were willing to give a very selfless gift of donating organs or tissues to others. But moving along here, well, pages 9 through 16 in this, what we're talking about here is making gifts, or how you make a gift prior to death. And that's not a gift of tissue, but how do you designate that you're going, or you're willing to be an organ donor. And so what we've got is basically an adult, emancipated minor can make that donor. Probably the most common is on your driver's license. If you pull out your driver's license and look at the front, on the front of your driver's license up on the right, you'll see it'll say donor and have a little heart. That symbol designates you, and you are in the registry at the Department of Transportation as an organ donor. But you can also do that through any kind of writing, and you go through there, and as you go through the pages 9 through 16, you'll see that the gift can be made by writing or in a symbol on your driver's license. It can be made in a will. It can be made during a terminal illness or injury, or by any form of communication that's witnessed by two adults, one of whom is disinterested. And those gifts are then can be and often are recorded on the registry, which is maintained by the Department of Transportation. When you make the gift, if you want to amend the gift or later revoke the gift, you have the same types of processes and the same types of authentication procedures are used. If you get to page 14, you'll find if you're going to refuse, you don't want to be an organ donor. You have the right to do that. And ultimately, the refusal is in the same manner in which you would make a gift. It can be in writing. It can be designated and contained on the registry and your driver's license or other things. If you go to the bottom of page 16 and pages through 19, you get to a section called preclusive effect. The purpose of this section is simply to resolve and interpret conflicting documents and authorizations. For example, overall, you'll find in this section that if you, as a donor, make an intent either to revoke a gift or to refuse to make a gift, or you want to be a gift donor, that's going to trump any other procedures, and no one can, your wife or your adult children or your parents can't come back later, with one exception, and do something that overrides what you wanted in the first place. If the donor has not made a gift, then you get to page 19, and you'll see in 35.5209, you'll see a hierarchy of classes who may make a gift on your behalf. The agent, then that would be the agent designated by you to make that decision for you, followed by your spouse, followed by adult children, followed by parents, and so on and so forth, so that there ends up being a person or a class of persons who are authorized to make decisions or to offer clarifications on your behalf in the event that you are an organ donor. And obviously, if you're in that position, you will not be around or unavailable to make those clarifications or directions yourself. But also note that in the event of tie votes that of a class, if you had four kids and two were in favor of organ donation and two of your kids were against it, the tie would prohibit, and that there would not be an organ donation. Trying to balance this with the public policy in favor of organ donations, with also recognizing the rights you have to and your family to make these decisions in these times of stress. So we're covering how other people do that. If you go to pages 22 through 27, there's limitations on who receives organ donors. It must be a hospital, a medical school, or procurement organization, or a research facility, or you can leave and there can be a specific recipient of that particular organ. In other words, you can designate who would receive your eyes or who might receive your heart. You have the right to make that specific designation on that person can be a recipient. One of the reasons why you have to limit and restrict who receives that is it's and you'll see later in the bill, that it's a crime to either sell or to buy organs. Nationwide, you can't have a situation where we're marketing in organs. There are some black market, very gruesome black market out there with respect to human organs, and obviously that would be significantly against public policy. And it doesn't take it. Some of us seen enough movies and read some books in that regard to let your imagination run very far before you can see the problem with that. And pages 28 through 31 provides rights of procurement organizations. And duties that would include access to records and pre-work to maintain suitability of organs or availability of organs and tissues, and also imposes obligations on these organizations to find and inform relatives and coordinate with other organ procurement organizations. And pages 31 through 32 provide criminal sanctions for the sale or purchase of body parts. Basically, it's 5 years and $50,000 fine, but also provides for civil and criminal immunity for good faith attempts in this area when you're trying to comply with this state's or other states' acts in this regard. Pages 34 through 36 contain and charges the Department of Transportation and the procurement organizations with registry duties and maintenance, including the prohibition on sharing personal information with anybody else without the consent of the donor. Page 37 has the talks about it and helps marry the effect of an anatomical gift act and advanced health care directives and durable powers of attorney, those types of things, and resolves any conflicts between those documents and the registry and those documents. Then you get to the next sections, 2039 through 44, deal mostly with cooperation interaction of the coroner to release, delay, or prohibit donation based upon their requirements and their obligations to discharge death to determine the cause of death in coroner cases. Section 2 of the bill, which begins on page 45, then just starts through a set of conforming changes and cross-references to other statutes that will be required if this law is adopted. Section 3 is repealer of the former act. Section 4 deals with the transfer of funds. There is a transplant account that's out there that comes from voluntary sources. It's held, and that would transfer the funds from under the old act to the new act. It doesn't create any new money or ask for any new money. And Section 5 is the effective date. And with that, I would urge your favorable consideration. Would stand for questions on the bill.
Any questions? Senator Honeycutt.
Chairman, I have a question about the language on page 3, line 1 and 2. It talks about stillborn infants subject to restrictions imposed by law other than this act, and then a fetus. How does this pertain to abortions and partial birth abortions? May I ask that of the good senator from Trona County?
Senator Perkins.
Sure. What you have here is with a stillborn infant, or obviously they're subject to restrictions. If there's other laws that are imposed by this state in other areas of the Act that would prohibit organ donation in those circumstances, you would not be able to do that. But ultimately, a parent gets to decide if organ donations of a stillborn or an infant or a minor child, for that matter, in any respect, whether or not there be organ or tissue donations, those are going to rest with the parent. If the parents aren't available, then we would go to that hierarchy of other classes, which the next class would probably be, there wouldn't be adult children, probably be parents, probably grandparents, or be others. It would probably be grandparents. But ultimately, unless there's some other law out there, parents would have control over those instances, whether it's a fetus or a stillborn or a newborn.
Any other questions? Hearing none, the question is on Senator Ross's motion. The committee of whole rise and report it due for so with a due pass motion on Senate File 86. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 86 is passed. Committee of the whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 74. Would the reading clerk please read in the file?
Senate File Number 74, sponsored by Senator Von Flater, and Youthful Drivers Restricted Licenses, and Act Relating to Restricted Licenses. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Flater, and Senator Von Flater, and Chairman.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 74. And to explain the bill, I defer to the good senator from Campbell County, Senator Von Flater.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 74, Youthful Driver Restricted Licenses. The whole bill is on line 13 on page 1. The original language in this statute said that a restricted Class C or M license to a the division may issue a restricted Class C or M license to a person who is between the ages of 14 and 16 years. So by the wording that said restricted Class C or M licenses, most of the department employees were taking this to mean that you could have one or the other, and it just didn't make sense that if they had a hardship license that they couldn't have one on a motorcycle if that's what they used in the summertime and one on a car instead of pulling the license away from them. That happened to one of my constituents who went in. His son went in, had the car license, went to get the motorcycle hardship put on when he changed vehicles, and they asked for his car hardship license back. So this makes it quite clear to the division, the department, the division may issue a restricted Class C or M license or both such licenses to a person who is between the ages of and so forth. Line 13, page 1, that's the whole gist of the bill, and I ask for your favorable vote on it.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the question is on Senator Landon's motion that when the committee of the whole rise and report it, do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 74. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 74 is passed. Committee of the Whole. The next file for consideration is Senate File 85. The reading clerk, please read the file.
Senate File Number 85, sponsored by Senator Larson, Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Regulation, an act relating to cooperative electric utilities. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin. Senator Larson, Chairman.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move further reading of the bill be dispensed with, and I would move Senate File 85. and ask that it be given a favorable consideration. And to explain the bill, I would like to call on Senator Dockstetter.
Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 85 actually carries over a piece of legislation from 2006 allowing cooperatives to be exempt from the rate regulation programs with the PSC. Now, this legislation allows actually the cooperatives members to vote and approve it through their board of directors, and figures show that about 84% of the cooperatives favored the local control. In our case, on the west side of the state, we had a vote on it, and it indicated 87% approved opting out of the PSC regulation. But the two main points I want to emphasize for you and for you to keep in mind with Senate File 85, it eliminates the expense and time and the delays associated with the PSC approval, and then that means the savings can be passed on to the members of the cooperative. Since 2006, there's been some concerns arise with definitions and the state lines, and those are addressed here with Senate File 85 with the changing of the, or addressing the definitions. And then also that allows the original intent of the law to be passed over and include supplies such as natural gas, propane to be covered. Now let me refer just to the specific legislation of 85. After the explanation of the act on page 1, noting the exemption from the rate regulation of all energy sources of any cooperative regulation, the definitions are amended. I noted that earlier. Page 1, line 16, and page 2, line 1, the language limiting it to Wyoming is eliminated. Line 2, page 2, the word electric is changed to energy. Lines 2 through 5, also on page 2, the language acknowledge any energy related to commodity currently approved under the rules and regulations of the Public Service Commission and any future energy related to commodities approved by the Public Service Commission. Line 10, page 2, again the word change, electricity to energy. And lines 14 through 16 on page 2 eliminates the kilowatt language and inserts energy-related commodity. And in reference to line 18, we're going to be having an amendment come up on that. Now, in conclusion, just a few thoughts for you to think about here, please. With the exception of one, this bill affects all of the cooperatives that have already been chosen to opt out of the PSC regulation. Their membership vote has already gone out there. They've taken the vote, and they've approved it. So what they're asking for local control. Now, in committee testimony, member owners from out-of-state cooperatives, even one serving in a leadership position and on his respective board, testified that it would not be a problem. There would be no concern for the rate coverage across the state lines. And with the local control on rates, the cooperative and board members must deal directly with their membership. Again, we're going back to that local control. If there are any concerns that this doesn't work, well, we tracked down one example of this cooperative in Idaho, where they went through a rate change, a facility rate change. They moved from $15 to $50.50, and within, as my understanding has it, within a year or two, they had replaced their entire board through vote and replaced the general manager. They didn't like it. The new people came in and dropped the rate back to $30. So local control fits, and it fits in with the business principles of a cooperative. A couple of final notes here, too. Wyoming cooperatives providing service in surrounding states, they don't base their rates on state boundaries. That's not affected. And finally, none of the states surrounding Wyoming regulate their REA rates. Two main points again. I mentioned this just a second ago. Please keep in mind Senate File 85 eliminates the expense and time and delays associated with PSC approval, and that savings can be passed back onto the members of the cooperative. Gives them local control. So I ask for your favorable consideration. Stand for any questions. Thank you.
Any discussion? Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do remember a bill similar to this in 2006, but, you know, I think there might have been a bill similar to this in 2008 as well, and I think it came through the Corporations Committee, and it died in the Corporations Committee. Trying to remember who was against that bill in that committee. Let me think. I definitely can understand the expansion to all energy services maybe proposing this bill. And, you know, if you all remember, I was adamantly opposed to the previous bill, so, and I think for good reason, mostly anti-competitive reasons. But my concern with this bill is the issue of enclaves of customers of out-of-state utilities that reside in Wyoming and currently enjoy the protection of the Wyoming Public Service Commission. So it'd be like, you know, a utility that's largely serves another state, and they serve a portion of Wyoming and the customers there. Now, as I read this, there's no extra protection for those Wyoming customers. I don't see where, for example, the Wyoming customers as a group have to agree to this alternative form of regulation. But if you look in the existing statute, it's not in the bill, because this, all these things are just in the definition, but 3717.103 actually specifies a procedure, Mr. Chairman, by which the ratepayers or the cooperative utility members can decide to be to move their utility away from day-to-day oversight by the Public Service Commission. It, in essence, involves a kind of a democratic procedure where there's a vote, and if the vote's favorable, they move to this new form of regulation. There's also a procedure by which a certain number of customers in any particular class can go back the other way and take it to the PSC and get their grievances redressed, or however you want to say, get the thing reviewed. The problem is that this bill doesn't go into that vote mechanism and just specify that the Wyoming customers have to agree to this. So what happens is it happens based on the total vote within the cooperative company, of which the Wyoming customers could be a very small percentage. And they could literally be at the mercy of the customers in another state and of the policies and rate-making procedures established in another state. Now, that's my concern. I'd like to know how we can address that to protect Wyoming customers. And how will Wyoming customers be able to decide that if this isn't working for them, that they can either have the PSC review the law or review the rate action or return to PSC regulation in Wyoming?
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman. No secret that this co-op we're talking about is up in my area, and I know they're a small percentage of the co-op that actually is up in Montana, based in Montana. My question is, if the co-op is based in Montana, does Montana regulate the rates, possibly for the benefit of the Wyoming customers that could be a small percentage of the overall co-op? That's a question for one of the sponsors.
Senator Larson.
Well, the answer to that question is no. Montana does not regulate, nor does the way this is Wyoming. The reason for this bill came to pass, and yeah, there was a member of the Corporations Committee who voted against this at the time. Having seen the light and the necessary for this bill, what this bill basically does is allow co-ops to rule themselves. Yeah, I won't say that there could not be a small portion of Wyoming customers who could be outvoted by some customers from another state. But the fact is, co-ops all over the country, particularly here, have been very effective in controlling rates. If they don't like it, they do get rid of the directors of the co-op, as is indicated. There has only been one problem, which was mentioned by the good senator from Star Valley, and they kicked all the directors out. Co-ops are vote on their rates, basically, on their directors themselves to regulate. The reason for this regulation came about because our Public Service Commission, this bill is already really passed and put in. Our Public Service Commission ruled that those co-ops that had offices outside the state of Wyoming couldn't do this. Everybody else could do it, but if you had a headquarters and you had some Wyoming customers, you couldn't do it anymore. No co-ops with headquarters in other states all around Wyoming are regulated by the Public Service Commission. None of them. And the co-ops themselves are really good at controlling the rates. Many of you are members of them. And you know pretty much your rates are lowest, some of the lowest rates in the country. Because they're, if you would, owner-operated, owner-voted on. And so what this bill does, number one is, and my main interest in it, is including energy, not just electric and transmission rates. We may be right now in the only co-op within Wyoming that actually is delivering natural gas. It is still a co-op. It is still doing the same thing, but they're providing a different source of energy. So I think the co-ops are self-protected through their voting, through their member ownership, and all of the other things, the return of patronage capital, and all of those other instances. No other state around regulates the co-ops and of this, particularly the small size. There is, everybody's in favor of but one co-op that has already been mentioned. And the answer to that is if they have to do it on a whole co-op wide basis, they want an unbalanced amount of power to be able to say no. And I don't think that's right with the co-op either. So it works almost with no exception. In fact, in the committee, no exception was their testimony against the bill. And so I would urge you to approve it. It eliminates, if you would, the main thing is the time delay. It eliminates the time delay of having to go through the PSC process and the financial requirement to go through the PSC process, which quite frankly is very substantial. And that comes out of the operation of the co-op, which is then paid for and has to be transferred to the ratepayers. And so I would urge you to approve this legislation and let the co-ops do the regulation and continue to do the better rates that you've already seen.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would look for some more protections for our Wyoming customers. I mean, for example, there's nothing in our law that says if this is an out-of-state utility, cooperative utility, that has leaving regulation in their Wyoming jurisdiction, that the Wyoming rates, the rates charged to Wyoming customers have to be the same as the rates charged to Pick Montana customers. There's nothing that says those rates have to be the same. It just says that the utility has a vote, and I guess that vote's going to be at the annual membership meeting in Montana, and then they're going to come down here and tell us how that vote came out, and they'll be excused from regulation, but our Wyoming customers may be 5% of that Montana rate base. There's no assurance that the rates will be the same. It doesn't say that they have to be the same. It doesn't say that the 95% of the customers in the other jurisdiction can't gang up on our customers. There is no provision in the law for that Wyoming jurisdictional customers to appeal to the Wyoming PSC. The only way that an appeal can be effectuated is under the proposals under, as I read it, 3717-104, which to me, as I read that, that's set up for an entire customer base and getting a certain percentage to complain. It doesn't deal with just the Wyoming jurisdictional. So this whole thing to try to make the law we passed a couple years ago fit this situation that there's only a few customers in Wyoming doesn't work very well. And there needs to be more protections for Wyoming customers to make it a better fit. That would be, I'd also like to know what the costs of regulation are and how often these people come in, and how big a deal that is to come into the Wyoming PSC for these small jurisdictional issues within Wyoming. I don't think this bill's got enough adequate safeguards for Wyoming citizens who we are sworn to protect.
Any further discussion? Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was involved in the last legislation with the co-ops. I've got a lot of co-op blood in me, and I just want to answer a few of the comments that I've heard today. And I'm also in the retail propane business as well. They call me the Weston County gas passer. And the nature of the retail propane business is such that the price changes almost hourly in that business, and we have a terrible time trying to determine what a retail price would the effective retail price would be. If one was involved in the PSC on rate changes, it would be catastrophic for the retail business, i.e. the co-op, to effectively make a decent profit and was able to serve their customers properly by asking for a rate change every time the rate changes. As far as the Wyoming customers with an outside co-op, it's fairly obvious at this point, or in this day and age, that everything is regionalized. We have schools that have people from South Dakota and North Dakota, or not North Dakota, but Montana, have come to our schools in Wyoming, and vice versa. There is hardly any company or any retail company within the energy business that is limited only to the borders of the state. Therefore, we need to get into the 21st century. We need to get into the 20th century before we get to the 21st. But the effect of that being in Wyoming is of little effect to the co-ops. I can tell you from experience that they just don't consider the border as to be a detriment, and I don't know of any co-op that has different rates for cross borders that I know of, and I would apologize if you could find one. But the point is that they are a co-op. They do have representatives from both sides, and they certainly are fair about that, under threat of being thrown off a board that's very lucrative. I think they pay more than we get per day. Therefore, I really believe that this is an innocuous bill that should be passed and offer the cooperatives an opportunity to serve the customers that they already serve and do it in a manner that can be of benefit to all of their customers as well as the co-op.
Any further discussion? Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, my good friend from Weston County, you know, brings a lot of expertise to the table on this discussion, but I guess I need some more clarification, because my understanding of what the Public Service Commission does, at least I thought they did, was they looked at rate structures for the people in the state of Wyoming to protect the people in the state of Wyoming within the boundaries of the state of Wyoming. At least I thought that's what they did. And it doesn't matter who's providing what to them. I don't understand why the Public Service Commission wouldn't say to this outfit up in Montana that I think is based in Red Lodge, you've got Wyoming customers, we're going to protect those customers with rate structures, even though Montana doesn't do anything. So somebody tell me what the Public Service Commission does then. Don't they protect the citizens that are within the boundaries of the state of Wyoming from rates? At least I thought that's what they did.
Any further discussion? Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's exactly what the Public Service Commission does. But that's what the purpose of the bill was a couple of years ago. That's what the purpose of the bill is now. Because the co-ops who are owned by the members, who vote on their own board, who sets all of the rates and all of those kind of things, they decided we decided that they have the protection built into the structure of their particular organization. You get into the bigger companies and all, that's absolutely what they do. But two of the co-ops that voted to opt out last time had an election that they just voted, had the Wyoming members vote. And the Wyoming members all voted to opt out of being controlled by the Public Service Commission and incurring the additional costs and the additional time. I can't tell you what the costs are at this time because my memory doesn't go back to the 2 years when we had the testimony that the good senator from Lander's talking about. But quite frankly, it's substantial to go through a PSC hearing, and the time is substantial, and those costs are just passed right on to all of the users of the co-op. Because it is a co-op, after all. They do regulate themselves through the election of the board members and go through and check the rates, and you'll find that with almost in every circumstances, the rates are lower than they are for the rest of the state of Wyoming. And even the Wyoming members who have had selective voting, as they have done, and to make sure everybody was on board, has voted in favor of this. As the good senator in the business has said, there has not been any testimony of any kind that indicates that there has been a rate differential based upon the border to charge Wyoming citizens more, nor do I think there would be. If you like regulation and like to continue regulation, particularly for the smaller co-ops who elect their own officers, have their own rates, do all of those kind of things, if you like regulation, then vote against this bill. If you believe in the freedom of the co-op utilities and the member-owned utilities to regulate themselves and determine what there are, then you should vote for it.
Question is on Senator Larson's motion. Committee of the Whole rise report. It do so if it do pass motion on Senate File 85. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 85 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You have heard the motion. What is your pleasure?
Opposed?
Messages from the House.
January 20th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 104, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on the third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 57, Ownership of Pore Space Dominance of Mineral Estate. Ayes 54, noes 4, excuse 2. House Bill 58, Responsibilities of Injectors and Pore Space Owners. Ayes 58, excused 2. January 20th, 2009. From the House of Representatives, third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 62, Charter School Law Amendments. Ayes 56, noes 2, Excuse 2, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 91, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern. No, Senator DeCarrier, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 19th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 38, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Geis, Landon, Von Flatern. No, Senator Escobel, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. January the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 89, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, and Jennings. Noes, Senator Massey, and Senator Von Flatern, and Senator Co-Chairman. January the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 100, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, Massey, Von Flatern. No, Senator Jennings, Senator Co-Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Okay, Mr. President, before I make the appropriate motion, I'd like to give a heads up in regard to those bills that were just presented out of committee. Those will be put up in order to be action on the committee this afternoon. So I'll put those up shortly after the agreement. But for those of you who are committee chairs and have the responsibility of presentation, get those to the room.
Announcement, Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, just a friendly reminder, upon adjournment this afternoon, we're going to take up Senate File 34, beginning Agriculture Producer Finance Authority, Senate File 69, Fertilizers, Senate File 32, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program, Senate File 36, Intentional Feeding of Elk, and Senate File 8, Feral Livestock.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in about 30 minutes to take up Senate File 53, Property Tax Deferral Program, Senate File 82, Weed and Pest Districts Bidding, Senate File 105, Weed and Pest Control Districts Unfair Competition, and Senate File 83, Community College Property Tax Exemption.
Mr. Vice President, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 41, Senate File Debt Collection Statute of Limitations, Senate File 97, Unborn Victims of Violence Act, and Senate File 84, Aggravated Assault, Choking. And if I may have a moment, Mr. President, for privilege of the floor, I would like to make an announcement. Most of you received a letter yesterday from the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women, who is sponsoring a first annual legislative blood drive on the 20th of February, 2009. They are seeking donors from each county, representatives and senators, to donate blood at this drive, and would urge you to mark that date for February 20th, 2009.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. A heads up on your Corporations Committee's work on the new corporations law, Senate File 72. Mr. President, we're going to continue our hearing from this morning, this afternoon, upon final adjournment. We're also going to, we may, depending on what happens tomorrow with the afternoon activities, we will try to get a meeting in tomorrow afternoon upon adjournment, and then we will continue on Thursday morning at our regular meeting. All will be held in S-19. That's the new corporations law, Senate File 72. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, has a revised meeting scheduled for tomorrow due to some of the activities. But tomorrow we will meet upon the noon recess. That's a change, upon the noon recess in S-18 to consider only Senate File 51 title insurance.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Cultural Resources, Wildlife and Cultural Resources, will meet at 12:20 up in room S-14 to deal with Senate File 15, Cultural Tourism and Heritage Areas, Senate File 13, Shed Antler Collection, Senate File 48, Game and Fish Landowner Coupon Redemption Period, and Senate File 20, Works of Art in Public Buildings, if time permits.
The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed.
Are you guys on transportation?